Matthew chapter 4. Let's read beginning in verse number 1, and this will set our text and get our minds where they need to be for the lesson this morning. Verse 1 through 11. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." And he answered and said, this is what Jesus said to that, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So Satan comes to Jesus and attacks him, tempts him. His first temptation, hey, you're hungry, you've been fasting, let's make this rock into bread. Jesus responds, you know, I don't live by bread alone, I live by the word of God. What a response. Verse 5, "And when the devil take him up into the holy city, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone." Interesting, in the second temptation, Satan says, cast yourself down. We'll talk more about what that means and how it applies to us here in a little bit. But consider that Satan said, it is written. And what does that say? Well, it says that Satan uses sometimes the Bible to get us confused. But do you think that Satan, when he quotes the Bible, is using it properly? No way. Misquote. And by the way, can I tell you that still happens today where we have, as a matter of fact, without being specific, we have a lot of religious ideas out there, stuff right out of the Bible, but it's misapplied. It's misinterpreted. So it's a religion or it's religious, but it's wrong, okay? This is a tactic of Satan. And just note that. And I'm not preaching or teaching on that in my lesson, so I just wanted to give a chance to say something there. Look at verse 7. This is Jesus' response. Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." So Jesus quotes Scripture to respond to Satan's attack using the Scriptures accurately. Verse number 8, the third temptation. "Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Now you read that and you think to yourself, why would Jesus ever even remotely consider falling down and worshiping Satan? Because that's, in the end, this is the temptation, this is the request, this is the offer. But Jesus isn't going to do that, but I'm going to tell you why this would have been a temptation, and then you might have one of those aha moments, because just like it would have been a temptation for Jesus, it's a temptation for you and me. I think some of us are a lot like Peter. Lord, I would never deny you. Remember he said, I'll never deny you. I'll go to the death. And Jesus responded to that by saying, you're going to deny me tonight three times. So I think we're a lot less strong than we think we are. And that's certainly true in this case. So get yourself ready for that one when we get there. Verse 10, this is Jesus' response. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. The lesson this morning, three attacks from Satan, but one purpose. Three attacks from Satan, one purpose. We get attacked, don't we? And do you think he is going to give up because maybe the first time it didn't work on you? Nope. He's relentless. And some of us, I think, have been feeling some of those attacks lately. And I want to give you some equipment right from the Bible that'll help you to overcome these temptations. And then you can just watch Satan walk away with his tail between his legs right where it should be. So let's have prayer and let's see what God does this morning. We love you this morning. We thank you for your word again, dear Father. We pray that you'd help us to identify the times in our life when we're tempted of the devil. Help us to be strong, equipped, and ready for these kinds of attacks. Thank you for grace. Again, thank you that your word is true and faithful. And Lord, we can trust you. Thank you that the Holy Spirit touches us. So it's not just an intellectual exchange, but it's the work of the Spirit in our hearts. So I pray all of that would be true today as we teach your word. Bring conviction to those that have the need. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we were in Sioux Falls, South Dakota last week. So today's the first day of the week. It had been Monday through Wednesday morning we came home. So Monday and Tuesday, Monday night, there was a preaching service and a church planting conference. We talked about it on Wednesday night, reporting how things went. And I'll do maybe a little bit more about that tonight. Not a lot, but a little tonight. But in a church planting conference, the emphasis is church planting, starting churches in the north central states, which there's a great need. But in the midst of the conference, preaching, which is what we need. Well, the second preacher, or rather the third preacher, which would have been Tuesday morning, preached a sermon about the attacks of Satan. And I'll tell you that I am so glad. Can I divert from that and talk about us for a minute and then come back to that sermon? I'm so glad for this place. I don't know how glad you are for this place, and I sense that you are glad for Valley Avenue Baptist Church. We have some guests, you know, we'll have more guests in a little while, and they're just trying to evaluate if they like Valley Avenue Baptist Church. But I'll tell you about my opinion. I love this place. You're my family. I don't want to be anywhere else. So I'm glad about what God is doing here. And so I'll do a sermon, and as the pastor, by the way, can I tell you that I am a human being, and I have temptations in my life, and I sin daily too. And so it's not as though I am here and all of normal human life is here, spiritually speaking, you know, because I'm the pastor. I have it all together all the time. You know, I don't. And I struggle, and I have a lot of the same, maybe the same temptations that you do in a lot of ways. So I'll do a sermon, and sometimes some of you have said this, Pastor, you did it again. Or, Pastor, I can't believe this. We were just talking about this when we got to church today, and look what you talked about today. You did a sermon about what I was talking about. And I'll tell you that, you know, when I was writing this sermon, I was exactly thinking about you. I was only thinking about you when I was writing this sermon. Can I tell you that almost never happens? So when I do a sermon and you're feeling like, how did he know? I'm going to be honest with you. I'm trying to figure my wife out. Like, she's pretty complicated. Amen, gentlemen? Okay, so God's given us a mission, know your wife. Well, that's pretty tough. I don't know her very good. I don't know you that good. I don't know my wife very good. So I'm trying to learn all of this. There's no possible way I knew what you were talking about 30 minutes ago or yesterday when I did that sermon. So God gets the glory for that. There's no way I'm smart enough. Well, that's happened. You've experienced it. Well, now you can hear my testimony. I'm at this conference and I'm whining to my wife because she's the one that gets most of my whining. And you don't know about it because she doesn't, you know, broadcast it around. But, you know, I do. I'm like, oh, I'm going to do this. And I suck my thumb a little bit. And it's just a tough time. And then I said to my wife Tuesday morning, I said, I don't want to be around these guys. I don't want to be here. You know, I'm doing that kind of deal. And we have this really tough talk, and she's just like, you know, I'm going to pray for you. And we had this, and then she said these words like a gracious wife would. And I'm not tongue in cheek, but she was being gracious. She said, you know, I want you to note something. God's working at Valley Avenue Baptist Church, and you know who's fighting you right now? The devil. I'm like, yeah, I know. The next sermon was about the attacks of the devil. And he literally said in his sermons things that I said to my wife like 10 minutes ago. So I'm sitting there thinking, it's happening to me. It's happening to me right now. And I was fighting it. I was fighting it, my pride. I was just like, no. No, and I didn't want to repent. I just wanted to grovel in my self-pity for a little while. But God wouldn't let me. The devil was attacking, and God was working on my heart. And so I want you to know that I understand the devil attacks us. He comes against us. His desire is to destroy us. He wants to, you know, get in our minds and cause us to think things that aren't true, to make us discouraged, to cause us to go away from God, go away from the right path. I mean, that is his tactics. So we're talking about the attacks of Satan. And let me tell you that right off the bat, you're very rarely going to be attacked from Satan in a physical way. You're mostly going to be attacked exclusively, if I can say this with a level of boldness, from Satan in two ways. Number one, and this is the primary place that Satan attacks you, it's in your mind. It's in the way that you think. It's the things that you think about. The devil gets in your thinking. He can't control you like some robot. Now, we understand times where the lost, and then there's demon oppression, and then you've heard this before, I'm sure, demon possession, where your body is sort of taken over by demon forces. But can I tell you that this isn't some kind of a robotic sort of deal where the devil takes control and I'm not doing this, it's the devil. No. The devil attacks us, takes control, and he does it through our thinking. The reason why we do what we do is because we thought about it before we did it. You say, well, I wasn't thinking. Well, you probably were thinking. You just weren't thinking the right things. You thought about it before you said it, even though, you know, you didn't give a lot of thought to it, it was there. You've probably been thinking about it for a while. And so the devil attacks us in our thinking, in our mind. And this is sort of, if we can say it this way, it's kind of like his playground, you know, if he can get into our mind. The second part is when he gets in your mind, what's he going to tell you? Well, he's going to tell you lies. That is his tactic. So when he gets into your, whenever he attacks you with your thinking, he's attacking you with lies. Now, how does the devil, what's one mode or method the devil gets into our thinking? I mean, well, think about it like this. And I'm not saying that it's always true that the devil works through this mode, but it's often true. Think about movies, okay? Now, I'm not here preaching about against movies, okay? But I want you to think with me about movies. So we can watch a movie, and then after we watch the movie, what do? With that movie? Well, we think about it. Sometimes we think about it, little scenes, and we bring them back up, and we quote things as if it's a funny movie or something. But it's in our mind. And so the devil has ways through media, through outlets like the wrong kinds of influences and friends in our life, things on our cell phone, Facebook. I mean, listen, you're scrolling through Facebook, you're doing it like this. You know, I don't know how y'all do, but when you're looking at Facebook, these are things that you read or you see little videos, and then you start thinking about it. This is the way that the devil gets into our mind. We're not thinking about the things that we should be thinking about. This is how the devil begins the process. Now, when this happened for the first time, it was Adam and Eve in the garden. Now, remember with me, keep your finger right here. Go to Genesis chapter 3. Now, this one's an easy. It's all the way at the beginning. Genesis 3. Don't lose your place in Matthew, because we're just going to look at a couple of verses here. Now, Satan's getting into their mind. He wants them to think a certain way. And when he started this attack, he told them a lie. And the problem is when Eve heard this lie, and it would have been Adam too, they believed it. And then they sinned. Okay, so look at verse 4 of chapter 3. The Bible says, "The serpent said unto the woman," now we're in verse 4 of chapter 3, "the serpent said unto the woman," what did he say? "Ye shall not surely die." Now that's Satan. Is it true or is it not true? It's a lie, isn't it? Because what they're talking about is eating the fruit. You know, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God says, don't eat it. And we're going to look at that. But Satan comes on the scene and he says, you won't die. So that's a lie, isn't it? Okay, look at verse number 2, verse 17. This is God talking. And God said, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." That's what God said, which is the exact opposite of what Satan said. So what did Adam and Eve do with the lie? What did they do with the information that Satan had put into their mind, their thinking? Well, here's what they did. Verse 6 of chapter 3. "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat." Gave to her husband with her, and he did eat. So they saw that it was good for food. They saw that it was pleasant to the eyes. And all the time, as they're seeing, they're thinking. They're seeing and they're thinking, well, maybe the devil is right. Maybe the serpent is right. And they believe the lie, and sin came as a result. That is the beginning of this thing. It's the beginning of the attacks and temptations of Satan. It's where it all started. And by the way, can I tell you, his tactics have not changed. It's just the same. He lies, and through these lies, he tempts us, and we think about the lies. We start to be convinced that they're true, and then we act. Ouch! Don't clap your fingers together. I cut my finger yesterday, and I forgot. Okay, so now you know. I'm going to talk about it in my second sermon, but if blood starts dripping everywhere, we'll need to get a towel or something. Anyway, now you're grossed out, but anyway, I got off track there, but that hurt. Okay, here we go. So Satan, and by the way, Satan attacks us, but when we hit our fingers with sledgehammers too. So, all right. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. He attacks us when we're vulnerable. Go back to Matthew chapter. Keep your place in Matthew 4. Lose Genesis. Go to John. John 8. We're in Sunday school. Let's take a look at a few things. John chapter 8. Now, the point that I was making when I got excited there is that his tactics haven't changed. His desire is the same to destroy us because it destroys the image of God. When he can destroy you, he can steal the glory away from God, which is all that he desires to do. And so he still is at work today. John 8, look at verse 44. If you're there, say amen. It says, "Ye are of your father," Jesus is talking. He says, "Ye are of your father, the devil." Now, here's what the Jews had been doing. They'd been saying, well, you know, our father is God, because of Deuteronomy chapter 6. They thought that their father was God. But why? Because they had a relationship with God through Christ, through faith? No, because they were Jews. They had gotten to the place that it was no longer about relationship and 100% about religion. They were Jews. They were Jewish. They were engaged in the religion of Judaism. And so because of that, they would have had a relationship with God. They would have been protected. By the way, is that not still happening today, where we have religions that say if you are in our religion, if you go to our church, if you are baptized, you go through these motions, ceremonies, religions, then you'll be saved? Well, that's not new. Who's the one who came up with that strategy? The devil. Look what Jesus says here as he deals with this attack. He says, "You're of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do." Now let's hear about the devil. Jesus explains who he is. He's a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he is a liar. And the father of it because of Adam and Eve all the way at the beginning. That's where it started. It's the father of lies. This is his tactic. He's a liar. And he gets into your mind, causing you to think about things that are not true. Now, Jesus in these words says that there is no truth in him, but what is the truth? What is it that Satan attacks us? If he's attacking us with lies, then what is he lying or going against? What's on the contrast or the other side of his lies? It's the truth, the Word of God, God's Word. So Satan doesn't want you to believe the Bible. He doesn't want you to believe the truth of God's Word. And he'll do anything that he can through his tactics and lies to cause mankind and you and me to be doubting and to struggle with the truthfulness of God's Word. So never forget his mission. If you're being tempted, by the way, he has a lot of ways that he tempts us. We're going to talk about them here. If you're being tempted, you say, "Pastor, that's me right now. I'm being tempted." Well, let's just remember what his desire is. Satan's desire. Let me read three verses. Don't turn there. Ephesians 6:12. You can note things if you're doing that. "For we wrestle or struggle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places." Do you know who that spiritual wickedness in high places? Spiritual, meaning you can't see him. Demon forces at work today in the world. Tempting, drawing man away, getting into our thinking. That's the struggle. John 10:10, "The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy." That's his desire. And then Peter said it like this, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. That's his desire. So don't forget it. If you're being tempted of the devil, if you're being attacked of the devil, and like I was sitting there in the sermon last week, sort of pouting and almost upset that the preacher was talking about what her and I had just talked about, there's no possible way he could have known. It was God 100%, and I was mad about it because I wanted to be upset about it. But I should remember, and you should, and I should, you should remember too, and God did get a hold of my heart. I repented about halfway through the sermon. I'm ashamed that I waited that long, but it's true. Halfway through the sermon, repented. Then I got a lot more out of it after that. But so his tactic is to, you know, to destroy us. That pride rises up in us. I don't want to repent. I don't want to get my heart right. I don't want to do these things that God is working in me. Well, this, just remember, if you let Satan keep tempting you and in your pride keep going along with it, this is where it's going to lead you. This is his mission. This is his desire. Destroy, destroy, destroy. To kill, like a roaring lion, devour. So, this is his mission. So, he fights with lies. He fights in your mind. Let me show you one more verse before we break down Matthew chapter 4 here. Go to 2 Corinthians 10. You're in John. Just go a few more pages. You'll hit Acts, then you'll hit Romans, and then you'll hit 1 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians is where we are. 2 Corinthians 10. I've memorized this verse. I encourage you to underline it in your Bible and memorize it too. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right, let's read verse 3 through 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Can I say that we're at war? You say, well, I don't want to be at war. Well, I'm sorry, you are. There's no way you can escape it because it's spiritual. There's a conflict. That's that struggle you feel inside every time you don't want to do what God wants you to do. It's not between you and me or you and anybody. It's between you and God and you and what God is leading. That conflict. Well, Satan is at war and God is at war for you. He desires to, you know, win you. So, we walk on the flesh, we war not after the flesh. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Note verse 5, I love it. Casting down imaginations. Imaginations, interesting word, right? So where is that? Where does that happen? It's in your mind. And so the attacks are in your mind in the way that you think. And God says when the attacks come and you just, you know when you start thinking about somebody and you just start getting mad just because you're thinking about it? Hello, those are the attacks of the devil. He gets in your mind. He wants you to be mad and bitter and angry and whatever. This is where this verse kicks in. Cast it down. You say, how do I do that? Well, you just grab it out of your brain and you throw it down. You just ask God to help you. You say, God, listen, I don't want to think about this. I'm going to cast this down. I'm going to choose not to let this be in my mind. Maybe quote this verse to help you remember what you need to do. But listen, God says, cast down imaginations. And then he says this. By the way, the best way is to replace it with good thinking. Start trying to be a blessing to someone instead of groveling in our self-pity. You know, verse 5, casting down imagination, every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. By the way, where is knowledge? Knowledge is in your mind. So replace the bad or the lies or the stuff that's being coming your way as a way of temptation, and replace it with the knowledge of God. And then look at the last phrase, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So it's redundant through the verse because the attacks of the devil are in your mind. Barclay, great writer, said it like this, commentator. He said, it is through our inmost thoughts and desires that the tempter comes to us. His attack is launched in our own minds. It is true that attack can be so real that we almost see the devil. Think about that. Let me read that phrase to you again. Barclay says this. He says, it is true that the attacks in our mind, remember, can be so real that we can almost see the devil. And then he said this. He said, he finds his allies and his weapons in our inmost thoughts and desires. So he attacks us. He attacks us with lies, and he gets in our thinking. With that in mind, go to Matthew, and we'll spend the rest of our time right here in Matthew 4. Now, Satan here is going to come to Jesus and tempt him. There's three temptations, and so you can, if you're taking notes, just write 1, 2, and 3. Number one, Satan will tempt you when you're most vulnerable. Let me say it again. Satan will tempt you when you're the most vulnerable. Verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Can we pause there for a minute? Do you know what fasting means? Have you ever, what's your favorite meal of the day? Is anybody's favorite meal breakfast? Just lift your hand. Amen. I see that hand right there. I love breakfast. I think it might be my favorite meal until the next one, but anyway. So, breakfast. What does the word mean? Break. Fast. You're breaking your all-night fast. Fasting is when you don't eat. So, Jesus fasted. He didn't eat for 40 days. You say, well, that's not possible. It actually is, and I know people who've done it. And I'm not sure why they did it, but they did it. So, Jesus had his purpose, but he would have been hungry, wouldn't he? Well, Satan knew that. You haven't eaten for a long time. You're hungry. By the way, when you're really hungry, don't you get a little bit crabby? I mean, Jesus wasn't crabby, but I'm just talking about us now. Us normal, you know, we get a little crabby. So there's just those temptations that come our way. Jesus would have been hungry. Satan comes. Verse 2, you know, afterwards wasn't hungry. Verse 3, when the tempter came to him, said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And of course, Jesus responded, man shall not live by bread alone. But that was the point. He came to Jesus when he was most vulnerable after he had not been eating. Well, that's what he does to us. He waits for our, you know, you might find, well, life is good. Life is so good right now. I mean, I'm doing great. And then suddenly, it's like everything falls apart. But it seems like it happens at a time when we're most vulnerable. For example, I mentioned to you this week on Monday about my personal struggle, okay, my personal conflict in my heart, all just dumb thinking, okay, so we get it, but the devil was, you know, there was temptation there clearly, and he was certainly involved. But can I tell you that before Monday, maybe a couple of days before that, there would have been some struggle, and there would have been some decline in the process to bringing me to Monday. But can I tell you that anytime somebody would ask me, like a pastor friend, hey, how's the church doing? I'm like, I actually feel a little bit bad to tell you how good it's doing, how good church is. I mean, it's so good, I feel a little bit guilty to tell you how good it is. And I've been saying that for months now. I mean, I don't know how you feel about it, but I feel really excited about what God's doing here. And, you know, I want to be Debbie Downer. Hey, you know, how's church doing? It's awful, and just see all the negative stuff. But you know, it's been great. Well, okay, so is the devil going to attack you and tempt you whenever everything is just like mountaintop? No, you're not going to be easily tempted then because you're not really all that vulnerable. But when, as soon as stuff starts going wrong, like finances get tight, or you're not sleeping good because you ate too many nachos or something several days in a row. Don't act like we don't eat wrong at nights and don't sleep good, and that's why we're crabby in the mornings, okay? So, but we're not sleeping well, we're not eating like we should, we don't feel good, and then we're crabby. Well, we're vulnerable. You're vulnerable when you're tired, you're vulnerable when you don't feel good, you're vulnerable when you're sick, you're vulnerable when you don't have any money, and the bills keep coming, you're like, we're vulnerable. These are the times that the devil attacks us. This is whenever stuff starts falling apart around us because we're vulnerable. Well, here now, whenever this happens, what do you think the devil's design here is? He wants you to lose faith in God. I don't know if I can trust God. It's going awful. And then this happened, you know. And we're wondering, is God faithful? Can I trust Him? Well, that's what's happening here. And Jesus, this attack on God's trustworthiness, Jesus responded to it by saying, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So here's what God says. Listen, I want you to understand something about what I know you're attempting me to do here as it relates to my relationship with God. And that is that I know that God is trustworthy. That's what Jesus said. I know that He's trustworthy. And so when you're vulnerable and you're being attacked, which it happens, and can I say that it might be happening some for some of us right now? Like Monday for me, that's been a couple of days this week for you, perhaps. And let's not forget, number one, if you in pride won't let God work in you and strengthen you, and sometimes we need to repent and just get our hearts right with God, that if you keep letting Satan lead you down this path, to not forget what his desire is, what his goal is, his purpose to destroy, that's what his desire is. So we know what God is doing in us. We trust his word. Satan's attack is on the word and the trustworthiness of God, and he does that when we're most vulnerable. You know, it's interesting. I read this. It's been a couple of years ago, but I read this that Costco, and now it's not a thing at all, but Costco had Bibles in their store, which they don't have Bibles. They just completely took Bibles out of the store that I know of. But they used to have sell Bibles. And there was a big deal that went on because when they put the Bibles in the store, they put them in the fiction section. Do you think they weren't trying to send a message with that little act there? So what is the tactic of the devil then? Well, that's the tactic. You can't trust God. The Bible is fiction. God is, his promises are fiction. And so that's the first one. It happens when we're vulnerable. Number two, Satan will tempt you to be so proud that you will not listen to what God is trying to do to get your attention. I'm telling you, this isn't the devil. Yours and my pride is not the devil. It sort of the temptations of the jet devil bring the pride out. But your pride and my pride, the pride I had halfway of that sermon A, all the way till halftime of this sermon, I was fighting God in my heart. I knew he was speaking, but I didn't want to hear it. That's pride. That's not the devil. The devil tempted, but I had the pride. Well, that's what's happening here. The devil wants you to have pride. He doesn't want you to repent. He doesn't want you to say, I don't want this anymore. I want to believe God. I want to trust God. I want to get right with God because I know that it's true, but our pride won't let us do that. So let's see what happened here. Verse 5. The devil taketh him up into his city. The holy city setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith to him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee to bear thee up, and so that you won't dash your foot against the stone. Verse 7, Jesus saith unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So Jesus, or rather Satan here said, cast yourself down. Interestingly, remember I said he inaccurately interpreted and quoted the scriptures. He's quoting Psalm 91, 11 through 12. You can look that up later. So this is the scripture Satan is quoting to Jesus to try to tell him, hey, it's okay if you do this. Listen, the Bible says this. You know, G. Campbell Morgan said this, to jump would not have been to trust, but to actually lack confidence. And so what Satan wanted Jesus to do was not to have a real or true confidence in what God had said, the true word of God, but Satan was tempting Jesus to have confidence in himself. To have confidence in himself. Well, that is the temptation that Satan brings to you and me too. To have, you can have confidence in yourself. Satan tempts us to be so proud that we will not let ourselves see that our way is not better than God's way. We try to tell ourselves that we're okay if we keep going the way that we're going. And so he gets into our minds and he causes with these lies, and we start to think it, and then we start to be convinced of it, and our pride won't let us repent of it. I don't need church. I don't need fellowship. I don't need to be around God's people. You see, these are lies. You do need church. You do need to be around God's people, and you do need fellowship, but the devil tells you you don't need it. And these are lies, and whenever we start to go away from God and we start engaging ourselves in activities that pull us away from faithfulness to Him, and we start to think, well, you know, I have better friends out there than I have here, and we kind of get these things in our minds, and then the devil says stuff like this, it's better out there than in here. Can I tell you, no matter what you're going through right now, those are lies. And what ends up happening is we, little by little, step by step, we sort of like go down the wrong path. And then before we know it, we cross like the halfway point. We start sort of pendling, you know, the pendulum. We start sort of rocking towards the wrong direction. And we look back and we're like, whoa, I got a lot further away than I thought I did. From God's way, from church, from fellowship, from my need of what God says I need. All right. So I'm going away, and now I'm further away, and I'm realizing it now. The devil says it's better, and our pride won't let us say that the devil's a liar. That's the point. God is trying to get you back. He's trying to pull you in to tell you, listen, it's not better out there. And the further away that you get, the more you're going to realize that it's not better. But our pride won't let us admit it. That's the pride we're talking about here. The devil wants to get into your pride, to the pride of your heart, to keep you from seeing and trusting and repenting and believing, really, that God is true. Okay, so the attack then is on our pride. Jesus dealt with this. His response, verse 7, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So Jesus wants you, Satan wants you to be so proud that you won't humble yourself. And Jesus says, don't tempt the Lord. What's that mean? Do you think because you don't want it to be true and in your pride you won't repent that you're not going to suffer consequences? Don't tempt God. Keep going down that path and you're tempting God. Listen, I was wondering, I think it was you and me, Brother Tim, this morning we were talking about Jonah. And just, it wasn't about this, but we just mentioned Jonah. Think about Jonah. He ran away from God. He was on his way to Tarsus. And God says, I'm not going to let this happen for you easy. And he got swallowed by a whale. You know, interestingly, Jonah went through a lot of running from God before he got swallowed by a whale. God let him get on a ship. He didn't let him get swallowed by a giant sort of land animal. Before he got on the ship, no, he's on the boat. And then the storm came. That sounds to me like God's grace. And then to deal with it, no, I don't think I'll repent. I think I'll just jump in the water. And then he got swallowed by a whale. So it took a while before he got to that point. And I think that you and I need to understand that we can fight against God in the pride of our heart, because he's trying to touch you. And we, in our pride, says, I don't want to get right. I know it happens because I did it. So we just don't want to repent. We don't want to admit it, you know. And so we keep, like Jonah, I'm going to go here, and you run a little further. And I'm going to go here, and I'm going to run a little further. But you're tempting God. And I want you to know, eventually you're going to hit that wall where the fish comes up and swallows you. And to me, that sounds like judgment, right? So all along the way, note that Jesus is understanding something true about God. It's not wise to tempt him. And every time you, in your pride, say, I'm not going to repent, you're tempting God. Wow, this is great. This is great help. I'm thankful for Jesus to note these things for you and I who suffer these same temptations. Number 3, and lastly, Satan will tell you that the world is better than God. I hate this one. I hate them all, actually, but I hate this one because it's such a blatant lie. Don't you hate being lied to? If you didn't say amen, you probably weren't listening, or you're just not an amener. But we don't like being lied to. Politically, we're not going to go into details on that, but don't you hate being lied to from the top down, trying to schmooze over, make things that aren't true look like they are true, and things that are true look like they're not true? It's ridiculous. We hate being lied to, especially whenever people suffer as a result of that. Well, Satan here will tell you a full-out lie, and here's what it is. The world is better than God. And people believe it. But it's not true. Look at verse 8. The devil take them up into the exceeding high mountain, showeth them, note these words, all the kingdoms of the what? Of the world. All the kingdoms of the world. Now I'm going to tell you why this was a temptation here in just a minute, but let's read. In the glory of them, verse 9, saith unto him, that Satan is saying to Jesus, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. So the temptation here would have been for Jesus to receive the kingdoms of the world at the hand of Satan. You say, well, how does this even make sense? And why would this be a temptation for Jesus? Consider this. Why did Jesus come to this earth? To die. He came to die. Here's what Satan said. This is all the way back at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, by the way. Matthew 4, we're right at the beginning. So right at the beginning, here's what Satan said. You don't even have to die on the cross. I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world. They can be your possession and you don't even have to suffer. So the temptation would have been that he would have been able to have all of the blessings and not suffer. Did you know that the world still offers you that today? Hey, if you come and you follow me, if you come and you worship me, if you come and give your heart to me, the world says, and just go ahead and forget about God's design and God's plan, God the Father who has a particular reason for you to come. Just sort of set that on the sideline because everything God's promising you, I can give you and it'll be better. Why? Because you won't have to suffer at all. Jesus knew, didn't he? That's a lie. No, the devil, he's really wily with this. And unfortunately, a lot of people believe this, and they run to the world. But they forget. He has three temptations, but one purpose. John 10:10, the thief has come not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's his purpose. And if you believe any one of these lies, and you allow your mind to be convinced to follow any one of these three paths, then it will, in the end, lead you to the same destiny. One purpose, destruction. He'll destroy your life. He'll destroy your testimony. He'll destroy your ability to have joy in anything that the fruit of the Spirit can give. And so this is his tactic. This is his lies. He says that the world is better than God. Well, what did Jesus say? Verse number 10. Then saith to him, get thee hence, Satan. I love that. Remember when Jesus said to Peter, who was saying things that were like this? Remember what Peter said? Jesus said to him, hey, I'm paraphrasing, okay. Jesus said, I need to go and die on the cross. Well, Peter didn't want that. So what did Peter say? He said, no way. I will not let you die on the cross. Jesus looked at Peter in the eyes and said these words to Peter. Get thee behind me, Satan. Well, Peter wasn't Satan, but what he was saying was satanic. And here's what Jesus is saying here. That when he came, Jesus came, he came to die on the cross. And anything that tells you you can live life without Christ and his sacrifice on that cross for you, the grace that was extended to you and me because of that sacrifice, and you think you can live and gain a kind of blessing from the world without surrendering to Christ, you're following a lie. This is a lie from Satan. You know what you and I need to say? Get thee behind me, Satan. You're a liar. You've been a liar from the beginning. You've been tempting me, and I will not allow it anymore. But to do that, you're going to have to humble your heart because that pride gets in there, doesn't it? You don't want to admit it. You just want to keep going down your path. You're like me on Monday. No, I don't want to admit that I needed this. But God knows what we need. He knows that we've been attacked. I think that would be foolish for all of us not to understand and assume that because God is doing such a great work that the devil wants to destroy this. Okay, so that's just obvious. But here's another obvious thing that probably some of you have been attacked lately. Well, just know, his purpose is to destroy you. And we can cast our care on the Lord and cast down the imaginations as he attacks us in our thinking and surrender our heart to the Lord, back to the Lord with repentance to say, God, I believe you. I believe your word. The devil's a liar and I want to serve you. And with that, day by day, learn the scripture. Yeah, memorize it. It's not a magical formula, though. Memorizing scripture and quoting them is not going to just like fix everything. But memorizing scripture, learning them and knowing how they work so that you can apply them to your life, that's what fixes it. Believing God and trusting Him and moving forward. Listen, can I say one thing? I'll give you an illustration and we're done. The devil has no authority to fulfill the promises that he's making. They're just lies. He can't give you the world. He has no authority to do that. But he'll tell you he does, but he doesn't. I remember when Grant was little, and Andrew was, just like 1 or 2 years old. And Grant would have been, 3 or 4, a couple years more than that. And Grant's bossy, and some things never change, amen? But anyway, he was bossing Andrew around. But Andrew's so laid back, he just does whatever he's told, you know, even at that 1 or 2 years old age. And Grant, whenever I remember just sort of, you know how you do moms and dads, you just sort of do what you're doing, but you're listening to what they're saying, because it's so cute, man. And Grant was saying to Andrew, he says, say please. And Andrew said, please. Now they're not exchanging anything, he's just telling him what to say. Say please. And Andrew said, please. And he says, say thank you. And Andrew said, thank you. And then he said, say bleh. And Andrew said, bleh. Everything that Grant said, Andrew just followed right suit. You know. Grant, listen, in those years, Grant had no authority. He didn't have authority over Andrew. But Andrew would follow him. He would follow what he would say. He would just repeat and follow along. I want you to understand something about the devil. He's going to make promises to you. He's going to tempt you. But he has no authority. And he can't fulfill his promises. So we would be wise to humble our heart, to identify when we're being attacked, cast down imaginations, and say, get thee behind me, Satan. Father, we need you this morning. It could be that we're being attacked, perhaps, maybe in a specific way in some of these struggles. I pray that you'd help us to remember the truthfulness of your word, to have faith and trust it. And God, just help us. There's a lot of things we talked about this morning that are just practical things. I pray that you'd help us to remember so that we might have strength to overcome these attacks. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for grace. Thank you for salvation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.